It's Gotham Day at New York City's racetrack Aqueduct, and there's no better way to play Aqueduct or the stakes-laden cards across the country at Tampa Bay and Santa Anita than with Naira Bets. Don't have a Naira Bets account? No problem. Go to NairaBets.com or download the Naira app and sign up today and get a $200 bonus if you use the promo code MONEY20. That's $200 just by using the promo code MONEY20. Download the Naira Bets app today or go to NairaBets.com.
Here I am!
Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets podcast for Gotham Day, Saturday, March 7th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, very far from the Brooklyn bunker once again, still out here at the studio in Surrey. I do not have Marmalade, the form-studying Cocker Spaniel, with me today. Marmalade, who I love, was just a little going a little crazy this morning. It was one of these things. I got down early. I was writing my column for attheraces.com, where I'm previewing these three-year-old stakes from around the country. And he just kept leaving and coming back with different things of mine. So first it was one sock, then it was the other sock. That didn't work. It was one sneaker, then it was the other sneaker. And I just decided it would be the best for both of us during the next couple hours when I'm recording the rest of this weekend shows if I retreated. So I'm now behind closed doors in the Surrey studio. Marmalade, I think, is panting out the door outside, but hopefully we'll keep from scratching at the door. That's what I've been dealing with this morning. And today's host are now 4 weeks in a row returning co-host, really, guest co-host, whatever you want to call him, of this program. He has been struggling with an issue. It used to be much more of a thing on the podcast. I feel like technological improvements have sorted it out, but battling some dodgy hotel Wi-Fi this week, we have Matt Vagvolgi. Matt, how are you today?
Pete, how are you? Doing well, and glad to be back on. It's gotten to the point where my CRM is asking me if I want to make this a recurring event. So that's certainly a good thing.
That's awesome.
But happy to be here and looking forward to another good weekend of racing. You know, obviously at Aqueduct, but really at Tampa and at Santa Anita, got a lot of good stuff going on this weekend.
Absolutely. And later today, we're going to be publishing that Tampa takeover, which I'm really excited about. We've got Rich Averill lined up. We've got Matt Carruthers lined up. We got JK's thoughts on the Tampa Stakes on the show we published yesterday, but really looking forward to getting Matt, who spent a lot of time looking at Tampa this winter, and perennial, one of the best horse players at Tampa Downs, Rich Averill, on here. He did such a good job last year. So that'll be posting in just a little bit. A little bit later today, folks can check that out. They've got that All Stakes Pick 5, which you can play wherever you place your wagers, hopefully through your Naira Bets account, since this is the Naira Bets show. And I was really happy with this Gotham Day late Pick 5 we're going to be talking about. But before we dive into it, I did want to ask you a little bit about last week. Didn't seem like the major hit that a couple of these other pick fives have been the last few Saturdays, but was curious to hear. You did tell me you hit the bet, but was it more of a break even plus? How did it all go down for you?
Yeah, no, it was a break even plus. Like I say at work, I enjoy making fun of myself more than patting myself on the back.
Definitely, most good players do
on a regular basis, right? And all the times I've been on here, we've had a really nice hit, 12,000 plus, and another one we hit it with all of our opinions where it's around a couple thousand, and then last week the saver came in, and I think I made a net profit of like $150, I think. But I think as an example of when you feel you have your opinions and you want to press them hard, which I did, I think in retrospect, I think I got a little over my skis of pressing certain horses, but putting yourself in a position to hit and to replenish that bankroll to fight again. I think those victories They don't seem like it at the time, but I think those are so important throughout the year of just keeping that fresh bankroll there, adding a few bucks there to go after it again. So, yeah, I've had it kind of all different flavors of hits, really nice hits, kind of decent, and then, a replenishment and move on type. So, it wasn't the best result, but, hey, it was still a victory and, another shot to play again.
I like it. And this sequence is a little bit in reverse of some of the pick five sequences that we see, in that we're ending with our featured race and we're starting with the crazy maiden claimer that often ends sequences like this. I do prefer it this way. I love being able to have that extra information in the cheaper race, whether it's the ability to look at horses in the paddock or at least see them on the track or hear. I'm not sure at this level if we're going to get a Maggie Wolfendale paddock commentary, but who knows? Maybe because it is the start of the late pick five, we will. But I like the idea of being able to have all that extra information for the trickiest leg, as opposed to just having to spread like crazy or as much as you can in the last leg with the maiden claimer. So we'll kick things off with race six, that aforementioned 25K maiden claimer for three-year-old New York bred fillies going six furlongs. Even though I guess they're starting early because it's still 3:50 Eastern that the pick five is expected to start. And how are we going to get things kicked off here, Matt?
I think you hit it on the head. This is a tough race, but I love having this race early on. And another great point you made too, if you have the opportunity to watch the Fox broadcast, please do. It's really such a player friendly event. They do a great job. I think everyone on there does tremendous. And you mentioned Maggie in the paddock. I think you really can't get better information than her. And I definitely turn the volume up when she's on, especially in races like this. But this is going to be, I think, a difficult race, but at least we get to see the board. I will look at, a couple of horses that have run before. I will add a first-time starter in there. Obviously, we'll see kind of the action of where I go. But I think the Brad Cox runners are two horses that you guys take a look at, the number eight, Chasing Losses, and the 13, Thunder Turtle, which I don't know why I think that's a great name. actually, I'm sorry, the 11, Adioro is the other Brad Cox runner, but those are the three that I'm going to take a look at, the 8, the 13, and the 11. The 8, Chasing Losses, I thought it was a solid effort first out, draws outside. I think that's where you want to be, especially sprinting at Aqueduct. I just think that's the horse that might to make a decision of try to go for the lead or to lay off of it. And also lands a square, a really big stats angle that I've created that's been very profitable. Pretty basic, but I like when it pops up. Trainers that are going from maiden special weight to maiden claimer. And if you look over, at a sample of the last 6 months, 64 starts, 39% wins with a positive 49% ROI.
Wow.
Certainly Brad Cox really, really fits that well. And Chasing Losses is the horse that fits. So it's been one of those angles that pops up. I'm going to pay attention, and certainly a horse I'm going to use. The other runner in there is Idiora, which is, third time out. I thought ran okay at Saratoga, flashing speed and faded. In a long way off, I came back and ran pretty well off the bench. I like the fact that the horse is going back pretty quick. Dylan stays aboard. Should flash some early speed. Speed's been pretty good. We have seen this track get a little bit fair, especially on sprints, which has been kind of crazy results coming off the pace. But that's another horse I certainly want to include. I think will fit perfectly. Like I mentioned, the 13 Thunder Turtle. I think. Again, it's going to be tough to see. I want to see what the board has to say. Englehart's pretty good with these three-year-old first-time starters, over the last 5 years. Not a huge sample, but, 69 starters, 10 wins, but a positive ROI at 15%. Maybe some scratches lose this horse in a bit. But positioned outside, much better than stuck down on the rail. So that's a horse I've been hearing a little buzz about to include here. So it's going to be one of those races where you want to look at the board, and it's certainly going to be a spot where I'll use a few for sure in this race. But those are the three main, and I will throw the two in there as well, Kitten Heels for Romero, and see how we do here. But those are the main horses I'm looking at. Any more to add on those?
No, I don't think you left any meat on the bone, honestly. I had the 11 and the 8 as the top two. Adoro, I thought, ran better than it looked last time, bumped at the start, moving into a hot pace, a race that's produced next out winners who improved their figures, chasing losses for our friends at 10 Strike. And I want to pause for a second on that angle because I'm actually a little surprised. I'm not surprised by the win rate on that angle of maiden special weight dropping to maiden claiming, but I am surprised at the ROI just because I feel like it used to be anyway, something you'd hear all the time. You'd hear people refer to it as the biggest class drop in racing. And I would have thought that the crowd would react to that such that it surprises me it produces that kind of a result. But this is one in Chasing Losses who has that angle. And also the fact that it's a congrats baby who are not known for winning first out, could improve with a race under the belt. The winner of the last race. Oh, no, I'm looking in my notes ahead to the other one I was going to mention, number two, Kitten Heels, for whom the winner of that last race came back to win again. Kitten Heels took a little money, and I totally get your case on the 13, and I love the fact that we'll get a little bit more information, hopefully, from the Tote and the Paddock on the 13 to decide how much that one needs to be included. But those we had the exact same four on our radar in race number six. And so that means I think we can move on to race seven, which is a stake race, the Stymie, going a mile with $125,000 in the pot for four and up. Once again, nothing too creative for me. By the three ones I liked, I'm going to guess are going to end up being the first three betting choices. Diamond King, who looks fastest early on Pace Figs. American Anthem got stuck on the rail early last time and then caught in a vice at a critical time in the race. Could run a lot better than that. And Wicked Trick looks like the best closer that has the best raw final time. So I saw it 6-4-5. I'm hoping you maybe have something creative or can help me separate those contenders a little bit.
Unfortunately, no. I see it similar. I do like the, I'd say when I'm looking at my tickets, my A's are going to be the 5 Wicked Trick and the 6 Diamond King. I would say more so on a pace stance. I think you hit it on the head in terms of, Wicked Trick being able to come from off of it. I would say, if you look at last time out, steps up a bit. I thought it ran well. Against quality field, and I think this horse can either grab the lead or lay off. So I think there's some tactics here. I do think we'll sit off the pace, and I think should get a nice a nice tracking trip. If that pace does get a little bit hot up front, but on the other hand, if Diamond King steps out and gets the lead, and I'm in agreement with Time Form on this. I do think Diamond King steps out to the lead, and I've seen this movie before at Aqueduct, and it gets an easy lead, gets into a nice rhythm, especially going a mile. I think can really step out and steal it on the front end. So those are the two for me. The one that I'm kind of scratching my head where I'm not sure if I'm going to include as a B or talk, and that's going to be the 4 American Anthem. I'm just not sure what I'm getting. Of course. And for sure, I won't have it as an A, which, with that said, I'm probably putting the horse in the winner's circle. But I'm just, for me, I like Wicked Trick, and I like the Diamond King a lot. I think they lay pretty heavily over the field. I do have an affection for Jovia that gave me a very big thrill. I was thinking about this morning. I think I was alive to about 120,000 on Belmont Day. Oh, Jovia and... go back and watch that race. If you're alive to that and what that horse was doing, you started to question. But can the horse go the whole way? And gave a nice trouble, faded a bit in the lane. But I think it's another interesting horse to include. I'll certainly have Jovi in the mix, but for me, I think Wicked Trick and Diamond King are the two I'm really going to lean on.
I definitely get it in terms of last out figures and form, they do lay over. I think that last American Anthem race was just sneaky good, and I definitely want to have in the mix, probably for me at the A level, but I would encourage you to if you can afford it, to use as a B. And this is something we talk about on the Stronach 5 show all the time, is sometimes you don't really want to make your final decision at this, not sometimes, you don't want to make your final decision at this stage. It's okay to have these horses that are on the cusp. And you've said to me, Matt, I think on air and certainly off air when we've talked about ticket construction that one of the things that has made you a better player is spending as much, if not more, time on the ticket construction part than on the handicapping part. And with that in mind, I would say if you have some combinations where you can get narrow elsewhere and afford to put an American Anthem as a backup, I would recommend that. Is that an accurate reflection of how your multi-race process works these days between the handicapping and the betting?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there are just really important points where I do break it up. You know, I like to handicap and then come back fresh in the morning of the day of and spend that time on building my tickets. Now, what I also do too is something, you know, it doesn't have a lot of significance, but it helps me where when I'm done handicapping and I have my A's and B's set up, I'll put a letter grade next to each leg. And if it's an A, then I know I have a really good opinion in that race. If it's a B, there might be a couple different pace scenarios that I want to take another look at. If it's a C, then I want to come back fresh and look at this race all over again. So the tickets will change. I think it's a great point to make. A lot of times where, you know, you're looking at different horses and then you look at it again with a fresh look, you may add different combinations. And so these tickets do change. I think you hit it perfectly, Pete, is I think spending that time on making sure your tickets are constructed properly, but also you're weighting your opinions properly. I think personally that's been the biggest change, and I think it's helped tremendously in the ROI. So no, I couldn't agree more, and I probably will have American Anthem in there. Just that first glance and going back watching some of these races, I just don't know. You know, it's one for sure I'll come back and take a look at to see where we can fit in.
There's a few things I wanted to follow up on there. I love that idea. I've never really done that idea of sort of grading my own opinion of a race in terms of strength and clarity. I think that's something that I'm going to attempt to steal in the future. And then just one other thing about when you're not sure what you want to do with a horse in the end, and you don't want to make the decision at this stage, made me think about Sean Borman, who's been a frequent guest on especially our Keeneland shows that we do. Hopefully he'll be up for another run at doing those. And I think he's been on the Naira show a couple of times too. But the idea of when handicapping, you have horses that you make your decisions about, you have horses that you X out essentially, and then you have horses that the phrase he uses is, oh, I left that one open. In other words, you don't make a mark in either direction. It's just that there's maybe no mark next to that horse. And that sort of tells you this is one to include where you can and one that you're not going to be including in your presses or the tickets where you're really drilling down to your best opinion. I'll have Sean on again soon and ask him if I described that right. But I thought that was a very good idea. I think Mike Maloney might talk about it a little bit in Betting with an Edge, but it's Sean Borman who I think, talking to him about multi-race construction, where that idea really started to sink in with me. So I'd like to give people an idea of how they can take these conceptual things we're talking about and put them into action in their play. I'm glad we went on that little tangent. And I think we should get back to the racing here with race number 8, which is the Tom Fool, a grade 3 going 6 furlongs. Very interesting situation where you have a heavy favorite who does not really have an edge on figures, but has a towering edge on class. And I think you have to start the conversation with this race. What do you do with Mind Control? And I'll let you answer it, Matt.
Obviously, I think Mind Control is a must-use, but does this race necessarily have, you know, it be as easy as, you know, single and move on? I don't think so. I do like the 5 Happy Farm as well. I think we'll take a lot of play as well. You know, lost by a nose last out against Frenzy Fire. You know, greatest stake under the belt. You know, should either get the lead or lay just off that first prey. And I know it seems like a recurring theme of emphasizing pace. Pace is so important at this track. And I think that's what's really found a lot of horses where I press or include is based on a pace scenario. And what it's really been, at one point, it was you had to get to the lead, where now it's just more or less, can you stay close to the pace? And I think Happy Farm can do that. You know, my hope here is that Wentz hustles out of the gate and tries for that lead, and tires off the layup. But I'm hoping that horse sets the pace and sets it up nicely for Happy Farm, where based on my my statistics here, has the best closing kick in the race. So I will be using Happy Farm. You know, obviously mind control, you can't really knock. Like you said, on a class standpoint, what is over the field. You know, in terms of tactics and how I see this race setting up, maybe not. You know, I think Mr. Dougie Fresh could be a pace issue as well in this race. I think you've got some other factors that can certainly play in, but you know, the top two I'm gonna lean on here are the five Happy Farm and the four Mind Control. I will have Wentz in there as a B, as well as Mr. Dougie Fresh, just as a way, just as a point of if one of those horses can get out and get the lead, and it's not contested, can step out and take it. So, but those are the two. Again, not breaking any news here, but those are the top two horses that I'm going to use.
We're super similar again. I need Mind Control as an A. I totally get Happy Farm, and I think I have to use Wentz in that. This is one I had the old stable watch pop up for as one of those horses I felt might have been disadvantaged by the good rail on Preakness Day. And now, you know, having gone away since then, obviously something went awry. The work tab looks solid enough. And those two previous races just give a good chance and seems like an opportunity to maybe do a little bit of in-service we trust with Wentz. So I definitely want some Wentz on my tickets. So I think we're going to be in very similar shape here as we turn for home in the last two legs of this pick five on Saturday at the Big A. And let's move ahead to race number 9, which is the Busher for 3-year-old fillies going a mile. And I feel like this is a place where I'm going to be very comfortable getting skinny. I'll give my opinion in the form of a question that I'll ask you, and I'll put it this way. Is this one as simple as Lake Avenue?
I think so, Pete. I'm a huge fan of this horse. And I think find the perfect field, the right distance. And I just think on tactics, I just, when I see this race, in my mind of how I think it's going to be run, I really do see Lake Avenue taking control, you know, cutting back off the layoff, you know, lightly raced fillies. I think has run, actually run great in every start, should grab the lead naturally. And what I mean is, I don't think there's a lot of hustle to get the lead in this case. And I just think gets into a nice rhythm and gets to the front, and that's it. And I think Lake Avenue has a very special race, and I think this might be it. I think this might be the one where you see this horse open up and say, "Wow, what a horse!" So, I think that highly of Lake Avenue. Are you going to include some others? Yeah, I mean, I think Mo City is interesting. I'd say for a long shot, Kansas Kiss, I think is also interesting as well. Wheels back pretty quick, off that 6-furlong allowance that just missed. I think it's all about the distance for that horse too. For some reason, if a horse like Persisto goes hard to the lead and tries to take it to Lake Avenue and softens her up enough, then I think a horse you want to look at coming off the pace, Kansas Kiss has never gone the distance. And I think a mile is perfect if you look at some of those previous races. But I do think that Lake Avenue is a tough contender in this race, and I will certainly be seeing one on tickets with Lake Avenue for sure.
Certainly sounds like that lone A scenario with maybe some backups mixed in on a percentage basis. Now I know we just talked about how you haven't done this level yet, and you'll think about it. But if you were to guess on a percentage basis, what percentage of your money is going to go through Lake Avenue, and what percentage through the backups?
It is probably going to be the overwhelming majority. I can see my strong presses, my $2-3 plus plays will have Lake Avenue single, but if Lake Avenue doesn't win, I would say probably 80% of my tickets will be gone.
That feels right. I feel very, very
strongly on this horse, and I think Lake Avenue, I think she just has a tremendous race in her, and I think this is the field where it's going to happen.
Let's talk about the race where we figure out how we're going to get paid. This year's Gotham Stakes. It's a pretty interesting rendition and a very cool race to end this sequence on. We're going a mile. We've got three-year-olds, of course. Maybe a bit of a scramble early on. What do you like in this spot?
You know, I'm going to be fairly logical in this case. It is an interesting race. And, you know, also being, I'll be playing in the Gotham Challenge as well, where this is the ultimate get paid race. And the pick five as well in the contest too. So, you know, this, and for me, when it comes to contests, I handicap backwards. So I start at the end, wherever the last race is, and I kind of go backwards from there, try to get the freshest brain on what I feel is the most important race when it comes to contest play. You know, this is a tough race. I mean, you know, the three horses that I'll concentrate on, the six is Sheevis Alex, the 10, Untitled, where I think it's going to be a pace factor, and the three, War Stopper. You know, Sheevis Alex, I think, ranked great off the layoff. You know, I've been hearing really good things. I think is coming into this race fresh and ready to roll. I think will be favorably placed behind what could be a pretty quick pace set by the 10 Untitled. And I think that, you know, I think having the best late pace figures as well, you know, coming into this race, I think that combination of an angle, which also fits the three War Stopper, why I like this horse a bit as well, where they've got really good late pace figures, but also will lay close. The six, I expect to lay close, where War Stopper, I think, is going to come from off of it. But that combination of early pace and a strong late pace figure lands on Sheevis Alex in this case. You know, the 10, I think, should be the speed of the speed. Should be able to shake clear, but you never know. I mean, could get caught up in a speed duel here where that makes this race very interesting. You know, I think mile you know, may be the best distance. I just think that could get free and take him gate to wire. But I am a little bit nervous about a bit of a hot pace that's on, which sets up, I think, for War Stopper, where I think with that strong late pace figure, will fit probably mid pack. I'm not necessarily in agreement with one of the rare times in disagreement with Time Form's projection. I think we'll actually lay a bit closer than projected to see on the projector. I think really took to the track last out. You know, I got an easy lead and rolled. I don't see that happening today at all. But I think we'll sit mid pack, and if it gets hot up front, you definitely want to have this horse. I want to have this horse on the ticket. So the A's for me are going to be 6, 10, 3. I'm also going to use the 4 attachment rate as well as the 8 Montauk Traffic as B.
That's interesting. I was about to come back with, this is the first time I can remember that I have a strong A opinion who you didn't mention in your spiel. I see the race shape as being fast. I feel like the horse that's going to benefit from it is Montauk Traffic, because I see what you're saying about how War Stopper finished up last time, but I think War Stopper was able to finish up that way because the race was so slow early. And I feel like Montauk Traffic, who granted has had some paces to run into also, but I just feel like visually he's run really well through the lane in those last two starts, and I feel like is going to be positioned perfectly, and I think has a chance to. I mean, this is one I'm want to use, maybe even to press a bit, because I think the price is going to be right. I think the 6-1 of the morning line might be reflected, and this was the horse that I wrote about in my At the Races column, and the one that I'm the most interested in. In terms of backups, the only other one I might mention is Sixto, who I just thought ran very well, and the Gio Barn is one that I would expect to improve with racing, and this horse to also possibly do better going longer just on pedigree. So, but I'm very happy to include everything you mentioned in a backup way. But for me, the key for me is going to be if we can get Montauk Traffic somewhere up in the number, and hopefully for my sake to the winner's circle.
Yeah, and again, you look at those last two races going 7 furlongs. I think the added distance with the projected pace, you know, hits the horse going out. I can see where you're coming from. You know, for me, the reason I would say the difference there is that I've been successful of trying to find horses that will close but will lay fairly close. I'm guessing a little bit with Warstopper on this. That will lay a little bit closer and may get first jump if it does melt down. But, you know, I agree with everything you said, though. I mean, you can't really deny the fact that what this horse has done in Montauk traffic of closing into some hot paces, gets some added distance, which I think will certainly help. But, no, it's a tough – I think it's a quality race. I think there's a lot of different directions that you can go here. But not certainly going to fault you for pressing hard on Montauk traffic, especially if you get that if you get that strong pace up front. So I think it's a good rendition of the Gotham. Actually, last year at this time, I was down at Aqueduct for the first time ever, which wow. Every time I say that, I feel I should say a fine to Naira, being a Naira fan for so long. But for some reason, just never was able to get down to Aqueduct. And last year had a chance to go down for the contest and took in the scenery of Aqueduct, which I love. Those types of tracks just don't exist anymore. It's got that urban feel to it, and
that's right.
You know, I think it's a great track. I think it's got its history, and another great rendition of the Gotham coming this year.
New York City's racetrack, as they call it. I didn't prep you for this, so feel free to just punt this question. But between all the other stakes races around the country, Tampa Bay, Santa Anita, did you have any other thoughts to potentially share on any of that, or have you just done New York so far?
I've been pretty much concentrating on New York for obviously jumping into the pick five, but also with the contest.
Sure.
You know, being concentrative on Aqueduct, but no, I have looked at Tampa. So the tracks for the contest are Tampa, Gulfstream, and Aqueduct. So looked at Tampa a little bit. I tell you, Santa Anita's got a great card, and I was debating going back and forth of which contest I wanted to play in, and decided just been having a lot of success at Aqueduct, and I want to stick here. But I haven't really dug too deep into it, Pete, but I just think it's another great weekend of racing and a lot of opportunities to take some shots at some quality field.
It's a fun time of year, that is for certain. And lots of great content on the network right now. You can check it all out at inthemoneypodcast.com. And we'll wrap things today by thanking you, Matt Vagvolgi. Hopefully we'll get another pick five and we can get some more of these nice notes people have been sending in. It's been great to be able to help people along, and hopefully you'll be back here next week. I forget what is the three is the hat trick. Five, I would just say the drive for five. What is four? What's four goals in hockey?
I don't know. A big game. I don't know.
We're in uncharted territory here.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory. I was going to say, you know, three goals in one period, the natural hat trick. You know, I don't know. I don't have anything for.
If you strike out four times in baseball, isn't that the golden sombrero? But as you see, it has the negative connotation. We don't want that. But thank you, Matt, very much for your contributions as ever. Thanks to our sponsors, Naira Bets, and thanks to everybody out there for listening and playing along with us in these Naira Saturday late pick fives. We're going to keep this show going for a while. We may change up what we're looking at. I was chatting with our friends over at Naira, and we may mix in a few more different bets we might be looking at. But for me, I do always love these Saturday pick fives. That's going to do it. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.